On this day, a funny thing happened on the way to the church. As I did wend my way along the footpath on my bicycle, I was involved in an unfortunate melee with a crowd of rowdy loiterers near the town hall. Some of you may be familiar with the particular group to which I refer, about two. The ones with the tambourines and funny hats. And a shame, they did break my spectacles and soil my cassock, and blacken my eye, and purloin my bicycle clips, and my under trousers. And yea, though I was able to get in a couple of good smites, I was forced to seek sanctuary in our good church. So, dear friends, I ask that you all rise and follow our blessed ushers, Lefty and Spike, to the town hall where you shall do unto others, pausing only to remove the chains from your own bicycles and to attach the Heaven's Angel stickers to your forearms. May the spoils of victory be yours, especially the little boxes with the tuneful rattle. All proceeds to the Let's All Pitch In and Buy the Vicar a New Bicycle Fund. A cherry red Super Glide Harley Davidson.
Yes, it's the all-new King-Size Filter Naked Vicar Show. Starring in order of tar contents, the mild menthol Nolene Brown. The Turkish blend, Kev Goldby, and the free health warning with every pack, Ross Higgins!
In Canberra today, the Prime Minister announced that he would recognize East Timor.
I'd know it anywhere.
He said.
Because last night, Tammy drew a picture of it in the gravy.
Meanwhile, the Leader of the Opposition said that he would never recognize it because Margaret's gravy's lumpy.
And Mr. Billy McMahon said...
I believe I would have recognized it, but Sonia couldn't figure out how to open the gravy can.
And now, live from the Sydney Opera House, Kamal presents a number he wrote himself.
Number 2.
Thank you.
Yes?
Avon calling.
Pardon?
I'm your Avon lady. Buy some perfume.
What's that?
It's me frock, of course.
No, that on the lawn.
Oh, it's me Avon bulldozer. See the sticker on the side? Avon Corporation, ding dong, hail driver.
Oh?
We at Avon call it the DPI.
DPI?
Diesel Purchasing Incentive. Now, you want to buy some Snoopy lipstick?
No, I don't want any Snoopy lipstick.
That's a nice liquid amber you got there. You wouldn't want anything to happen to it, would you?
No, look, just a minute.
Start up the DPI, Keith.
Oh, stop, that's my garden.
Hold it, Keith. Now, how many gallons of topaz will I put you down for? It's cheaper by the drum.
But I don't want any topaz.
Eight it is. Wise buying. As it so happens, we only have 844s left on the dozer. Drop them, Keith. Not them, the drums are topaz.
All
part of the service. I know you're shocked at our efficiency. See, that's straight into your hall.
Oh, but you're destroying the car.
Now, how many gross of orange-flavoured Snoopy lipstick will you be needing? Buy in bulk for your retirement.
Oh, but I don't want it.
Shall we say 39 gross?
No, will you please get out?
Gun the dozer, Keith. The fish pond.
All right.
Right. Now, it's about 7 identical matching sets of encyclopedias you ordered, huh?
What encyclopedias?
The ones in your kitchen.
I didn't order any encyclopedias.
Mind you, you can try before you buy. They're yours on approval, and if you choose not to purchase, you've got 5 minutes to return them to this address, Encyclopedia Offer, 28 High Street, Bengal.
But I don't...
You did want the Sanskrit version, didn't you? Ours is not the reason why. Now, where do you want the 25 vacuum cleaners?
But I didn't order...
Quite right. My mistake. They're floor polishers, and there's 26 of them, with the best wishes of Mr. Jolly.
But I don't...
And the orange juice?
What orange juice?
Back the tanker in here, Keith. And now because you're such a good customer, you get to purchase our special bulk buying Barganza mystery bonus package.
But I don't want any.
Containing, amongst other things, 150 Morocco-bound leaflets of the wit and wisdom of Rupert Murdoch. A ticket and an art union for mad people. A lifetime subscription to Watchtower and, of course, this bent letterbox.
What bent letterbox?
Your letterbox. Keith got a bit excited on the dozer. All right, now a quick tally up. Let's see. An even
$51,000. $51,000?
Sign here for our easy repayment scheme. 12 easy payments spread over the next 12 days. Thank you.
Look, I don't want any of these goods. I didn't order them, and if you don't go away, I'll be forced to call the police. Now what?
Ticket and a chook raffle?
No.
That's the trouble with convents. They never pay their bills.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Brenda Tristan.
We cross to the lodge, where the Prime Minister is about to enjoy his first meal off the $8,000 dinner set.
For what we are about to receive, may the Lord make us...
Here it is, Malcolm. I've baked a lovely... Oh.
For God's sake, Tammy.
But the lady at the Tupperware party said it wouldn't break.
Shop.
Oh, good, not you.
Yes, tis I.
What do you want, tis I?
I want the glittering baubles of fame.
Aye?
The sparkling spangles of stardom, the glistening splendour of a charismatic character, the magnetic twinkle that draws all eyes upwards in open-mouthed wonder and awe. And what am I? I am a...
A fairy on a Christmas tree.
Mock me not, Mrs. Jackson, for I am Bruce, the actor.
Aye?
Sphinx, the world is my stage, for I am a thespian.
You? A thespian?
Truly. Every night I put on my crash helmet and ride to the theatre on the Thespa.
Bruce, I'm going to rearrange your nose in a minute.
Rearrange my nose not, Mrs. Jackson, for my public awaits me. Centre stage I stand. The applause is thunderous in my pink ears. And the light dances off my sequined leotards and kindies. With a drum roll and a cymbal crash, the band heralds the arrival of my gorgeous feathered partner in Thesp.
What, a beautiful showgirl?
No, my budgie.
A budgie? What do you need a budgie for?
Marlene is my dog's assistant.
So you got a dog act?
Affirmative. Beg Clyde, roll over Clyde, walk the tightrope Clyde, swallow the sword Clyde, juggle the eggs Clyde, rip the phone book in half Clyde.
That's amazing. Clyde does all that?
No.
Why not?
His name's Nigel.
Bruce, I don't believe you've ever been on the stage.
I have. Every Saturday in the tool shed. Three shows daily, Bruce and his amazing finger puppets.
You? Finger puppets?
I have that pleasure. I tried the ones with the string once, but my fingers went blue and I fainted.
Bruce.
I did War and Peace last week.
War and Peace with finger puppets.
Thinks. Of course, I use my toes when it comes to the battle scenes. Oh, I got a nasty limp after the Battle of Waterloo.
What happened?
Huge bunger went off between my toes. And my plastic sandals caught fire. So next week, of course, I'm going to strap my budgie to my shoulder and do Long John Silver.
Bruce.
What?
Piss off.
This is the ABC and the time is... ...1 o'clock. And yes, here it is, gardeners, the show you've been waiting for. Yes, it's time for Getting Rooted.
Hello, gardeners! How sweet it is.
Quite an accolade, sis.
Keep your accolades out of this, Cyril. Getting Rooted's a family show.
I was talking about my great ovation.
Stop it!
The big hand they gave us, the clap they...
Cyril, wash your mouth out!
Oh, sorry, sis. Well, gardeners, this week's mailbag reveals a letter.
Great! Caesar's ghost! Things are looking up, Cyril.
Quiet now, sis. And the letter comes from little Serge of the Happy Gang Gardening Club. Serge writes that he's having a spot of bother with his snapdragons. And, of course, that makes little Serge sad.
You mean he's a blue Serge?
Shut up, sis.
It was a joke, you see. You
Quiet,
said...
Quiet, sis.
And then I said blue...
Shut up, sis.
Some people have no sense of humour.
Anyway, Serge's problem is that his poor little snapdragons have gone all limp and on really hot days runs out of breath and pants.
Pants! That makes it blue Serge trousers!
Suffering secateurs, you're a trial, sis.
Another joke, Cyril. You see, you said pants, and I, quick as a flash, said...
Shut up, sis.
Well, I thought it was funny.
Anyway, gardeners, snapdragons
no
are...
No one ever laughs at my jokes.
Quiet, sis. Snapdragons are hardy little sods.
You'd think they'd laugh today of all days.
Quiet, sis. Well, Serge, re your snappies.
Me. Me. Cecil Simpson. Me.
Pardon, sis?
Ah, oh, nothing.
Good. Anyway, Serge, you're back your... Cecil, I'm trying to sort out Serge's snappies.
Don't worry about me. Obviously, no one cares anyway.
Thank you, Serge. Now, I suggest a gentle soaking, Serge.
66 today. 66 today.
Cecil!
He's got the key to the door. Never been 66 before.
All right, you win. Happy birthday.
For me?
Yes, sis.
Struth! Just what I've always wanted. Cardboard box.
There's something inside it, sis.
Oh? Ah, golden secateurs. They're beautiful.
Read the engraving on it, sis.
Engraving? Ah, it says, Dear Cecil, sit on these and twist.
Just my little joke, sis.
I don't get it.
Oh, well, think about it, sis. And anyway, goodbye, gardeners!
Here's Doug Parkinson.
Hi there, your old pal Tommy here with another in the series of Hero Dogs. Today, Trusty the Kelpie. It was a normal working day for Trusty and his master Wally Graham, the boundary rider on Mullerina Station in Central Australia. Trusty had been a bit naughty that day, and Wally had to chastise him for eating all those sheep. But soon, Wally had forgotten their little quarrel as they went about their lonely chores. Then, fate stepped in. Wally's horse reared and threw him to the ground and broke his leg.
Oh, me leg's broken.
From out of the rocks, 18 death adders slowly slithered.
Jeez, death adders.
Frantically, Wally scribbled a note and said, Here, Trusty, take this to the homestead.
Here, Trusty, take this to the homestead.
Go, boy, he said.
Go, boy.
Trusty knew what to do. With those death adders getting closer, Trusty was away like the wind. Across the searing desert, the flinty stones tearing at his flying paws, Trusty ran on and on, never daring to stop, his hot breath rasping in his parched throat. Finally, around sundown, and at the point of exhaustion, Trusty came over the hill and saw the lights burning at the homestead window. He'd made it. With his last ounce of strength, he dragged himself to the tank stand, drank deeply, then went under the house and chewed up the note.
Ladies and gentlemen, at great expense to someone, we are proud to present The Seekers!
No, it's the New Seekers.
It's the new Old Seekers.
I thought it was the Old New Seekers.
No, it's the new Seekers.
Rubbish. It's the return of The Seekers.
It's the son of The Seekers.
Beneath the planet of The Seekers.
The Seekers that devoured New York.
On the road to The Seekers.
Bull, The Seekers meet the Wolfman.
Don't be ridiculous. It's Carry On Seeking.
It's the Seek who came in from the cold.
Rubbish. Peyton Place.
No, it doesn't matter. They've gone home anyway.
That's a funny name for a juggler.
Come in. Yes, come in, sit down. What are you here for?
I'm here about the job.
Oh, yes, of course. Now, the person we're looking for must be Moo.
Pardon, sir?
It's a cow. You've never heard a cow before?
Well, yes, but Moo.
There's another one. Actually, it's a Brahmin bull. They're different from cows, you know.
Yes, I know.
I thought you would. You're an intelligent-looking young man.
Oh, no, well, I thought...
Oh! What was that?
A chook?
But what sort?
Big?
Wrong. You do want to be our company's secretary, don't you?
Well, yes, sir.
Well, pay attention. Now then, I don't want you to feel I'm putting pressure on you. But how long do you intend to stay with us? Well, what do you think? Come.
Merino?
Wrong. It's the Tibetan leaping sheep. They're woolly and they leap in Tibet. Hence, of course, the name. Tibetan leaping sheep.
I'm not quite up on sheep, sir, but getting back to the job...
Quite right. They've been extinct for 5,000 years, so you don't see many these days. Not around this office, anyway.
I think I'd better
Sit down, sit down. I haven't finished the interview yet.
Yeah, but I don't understand
Boing, boing, boing.
What was that?
I'm sorry, sir, but I...
Come, guess, man.
Boing.
A kangaroo.
A wombat on a pogo stick. Fools, everyone. Yeah,
of course.
Of course, you say, of course. I'm not taken in by your shroud of deception. What color is the pogo stick? Boing.
Blue.
Wrong. Puce with red stripes.
Oh. Gee, about the job, sir. Now,
What's that, eh?
Oh, look, forget about the job. I'll be going...
You don't know, do you?
Well, goodbye, sir.
It's a duck.
A duck?
Yes, a duck. A South American tree-climbing duck doing his impression of a tap-dancing gorilla singing a Kamal songbook with severe laryngitis. I fooled you, didn't I? Didn't I? Baroop, baroop.
Goodbye, sir.
Fool. You'd have been a terrible company secretary anyway.
Oh, good morning. Who are you?
The name's Carter, sir.
You're the only one?
Yes, the others all left. Said they weren't going to wait around for any silly old fool.
Really? That's strange. No, well, as you're the only one, I suppose the job's yours. Welcome aboard, Carter.
Thank you, sir.
G'day. I'm Mike.
And I'm Mal.
And we're here to say...
Ask the Leyland runners.
Well, viewers, our first letter today comes from... Who does it come from, Mal?
I have it in my hand, Mike.
Struth, what a coincidence.
Master Julius Coleman of Happy Valley writes... What does a Sepik River tribesman look like?
A thoughtful question, Julius, and a question that had us stumped for a bit.
We couldn't actually go to Sepik River because our busy schedule wouldn't allow it.
And we couldn't find it.
However, Mike's inventive brain has yet again saved the day, and we are now able to show you this exclusive piece of film graphically depicting a lifelike facsimile of a Sepik River native.
The man you should be concentrating on is the one who is smiling and waving at us with the grey double-breasted suit and the bone in his nose.
But let's tell them the real story behind this graphic recreation.
Right, Mal. I know it's hard to believe, but that is not a real Sepik River native. That is, in fact, our next-door neighbour, who assures us that he goes very brown in summer.
Thanks a lot to a good neighbour, Luigi Del Sotto.
The lady entering the shot wearing the lap-lap and rolled black stockings is Luigi's mother-in-law.
By the way, that isn't a bone in her nose. It is, in fact, a band-aid.
Although she looks a bit shy, she's a real old trooper, because just prior to this film being taken, she stood on a rake.
Oh, for those queasy at stomach, don't worry. That isn't a real human head impaled on Luigi's hoe.
No, it's just a black velvet Aboriginal painting wrapped around a choco.
Yes. Goodbye to you too, Luigi.
And with fond memories, Mal and me climbed the fence back into our backyard. And the next letter. Take it away, Mal.
I'm standing here in the cool shade of our compost tumbler. And here comes my wife with what looks for all the world to be a letter in her hand. What's that, dear?
It's a letter in my hand.
Is it for us?
Yes.
Struth, what a coincidence.
It comes from Master Julius Coleman again.
Struth, it's been a day chocker with coincidences.
This time, little Julius asks, is it true that certain Italians have been known to stick a bone in their noses? And dress up as Sepik River natives?
That's a tough one, Mike.
Oh, it really is, Mal. So join us next week when we load up the land cruisers and strike out across the Simpson Desert to Rome. And hopefully to answer your question.
And remember, if there's anything you want to know...
Ask the Leyland, ask the Leyland, ask the Leyland brother.
That was the Naked Vigor Show, starring the antique Ross Higgins, the Ming Dynasty Nolene Brown, and the rather Victorian Kev Goldsby. The Baroque-style Naked Vigor Band was under the direction of the collector's item Michael Pajanic. Noises and other sound effects were made by old Flemish masters John McGraw, Ron Wendon, and Steve Collins. This show was recorded by the beautiful Regency period Mike Byrne, Rupert Naslin, and Dennis Fox. Production was coordinated by 17th century porcelain Judy Murphy. Written and produced by the Complete with Hallmarks Gary Riley and Tony Zadra. With additional material by the cunning reproduction Doug Edwards. Julianne Ford sprang to her fallen claw feet to become executive producer. The Naked Vigor Show is an RSABC production and will be auctioned at Sotheby's next Thursday.